Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and as many of my listeners know, I'm an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church of Greater New Jersey, where I serve. And our bishop, Bishop John Scholl, has invited clergy to take a two-week renewal leave. And so he has prepared a message for all of you and our congregations to listen to. So I wanted to share it with you, my listeners. So listen in to what Bishop John Scholl has to say, and hopefully God will speak to you through his message.
Now we're going to hear a first scripture reading, and Hector Burgos is going to come back again and read for us our first scripture lesson.
Hear the words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 4. If only you would tear open the heavens and come down. Mountains would quake before you like fire igniting brushwood or making water boil. If you would make your name known to your enemies, the nations would tremble in your presence. When you accomplish wonders beyond all expectations, when you came down, mountains quake before you. From ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eyes had seen any God but you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him.
Amen. Thanks be to God. You know, Hector has a dramatic story. I hope you hear his story someday about how God called him to ministry and how God has continued to use him and bless him. Now we'll hear the gospel lesson from Sangwon Do, district superintendent in the Raritan Valley District. And as he shares with us the gospel lesson about the baptism of Jesus, again, God being made known through Jesus Christ.
Today's gospel reading is from Mark, chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. And so though John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sangwon. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we bow our heads before you, just praying that you would open your word to us. God, we pray that in these moments we would just settle. We would just allow our minds to be free to hear what you have to say to us today. God, open our hearts, soften our hearts, that your word might dwell within our hearts. And God, open our ears and open our eyes so that we can see and understand. And God, I pray that you would use me here today to speak to one about what you have for their life. All this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, previously I spoke about the epiphany of God, and we heard about the story of God being made known in the birth of Jesus, and how the Magi, the three kings, came and visited. And I spoke about your epiphany, that you, God's speaking to you, and God has a word, and God wants to be manifested in your life. God wants to, because God's got a purpose for your life. God's got meaning for your life. And now this week, I want to talk about that you are the epiphany. As God speaks to you, now you become the epiphany. You become God's manifestation in the world. God is working in and through you. You know, John Wesley, our founder of Methodism, back in the 1700s, was a man who was devoted to God. He loved God, he cared about God, and he had a strong will. And that strong will drove him, literally drove him, to do everything good he could for God. His father was a pastor, a rector, actually, in the Church of England. And John Wesley became a rector in the Church of England, a pastor in the Church of England. And John Wesley believed that if he lived his life just as God wanted him to do, God would be pleased with him and God would be happy with him. Now, John Wesley had a mission to the United States. And on two different occasions, he came to the United States to begin to preach the word and spread Methodism here in the United States. And so he would take a ship across, as they say, across the pond, and he would preach and teach. And he did that on two occasions. And on both occasions, his mission actually was a failure. It didn't really take off. It didn't catch like he thought it would. And the second time he was coming back, he was on the ship and he was coming back to England, and there was a violent storm, and the boat rocked to and fro, and he was very afraid. He was scared. And then over in one of the corners of the ship, there were some Moravians, that's a denomination, the Moravians, and they were sitting there singing and praying and rejoicing. John Wesley's like, what are they doing? We might sink. How can they be singing and praying, singing these hymns of joy and, praising God? And he just couldn't understand it. And then later he learned about how they felt blessed by God, and it wasn't what they needed to do to please God, but that God had already blessed them and loved them and accepted them just as they were, and all they could do was praise God. Well, shortly after John Wesley got off of the ship, he found his way to Straight Street and had an Aldersgate experience there in which his heart was strangely warmed. And what he came to understand was there was nothing he could do to make God love him, but that God already loved him. And that was his epiphany. It was his new revelation for him. And now, he was still a pretty serious guy, but his ministry took on new forms and new life. As a matter of fact, after that, he began to actually get outside the church and go out into the fields and preach. He began to go to the prisons and visit people in the prisons and bring them the good news of Jesus Christ. He set up a mission, and it was originally called the Foundry. And in the Foundry, there was a preaching station, and there was a place where widows and orphans could live. There was a library and school for the children. There was a feeding program, all these different things that were happening. And all because his heart took on a new form, that he didn't have to try and please God. God already loved him just the way he was. And that's the great thing about the manifestations of God, is that God really wants to say to you, right today, I love you just the way you are. No matter what anybody else says to you, I love you just for who you are. And I believe, God says, that you can do great things in your life if you just allow me to help change your heart. So John Wesley's story is a powerful story, and it gave birth to United Methodism, and now we're all around the world and reaching people and doing great work and great ministry. And it wouldn't have happened if John Wesley didn't have his heart transformed. That was God's manifestation, God's epiphany for him. But here's the thing. John Wesley then went out and became the epiphany that people saw in him, God at work. And through that, they began to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And John Wesley has had impact generation after generation, century after century, nation after nation, people after people, congregation after congregation, all because he was open to God's manifestation in his life. And so today, I want to talk to you about being the epiphany, that you are the epiphany. And to think about this, I want to use three words to talk about your being an epiphany. The first is, yay, yay God. The second is, yes, yes God. And the third is, Yahoo, Yahoo your epiphany. Now, we'll get to Yahoo in a minute, but let's start first with yay God. You know, one of the things that we don't do enough of is just saying, God, you are great. You are powerful. You are everything I need in my life. You love me just the way I am. And all I can do is say, thank you, God. Yay, God. I am so grateful for you. You know, when we begin to praise God, it takes us into a new place. It actually takes us even a little bit outside of ourselves. And when we have that kind of joyous praise spirit, people begin to say, I want some of what you got. I want some of what you got. I see your joy. I see how you praise. I see how you praise other people. I want some of what you got. How can I get that? And that's when you become the epiphany, when people want more of what you have. Now, to do that, one of the things I want to encourage you is also to say, yay me. Now, I know this, you've been taught over time, oh, be humble, oh, sacrifice. And I'm not saying don't be humble, and I'm not saying don't sacrifice. But you know, there are also things to celebrate in your life because God is in your life. And so here's something I want you to do. I want you to develop a habit that every morning you ask yourself, what were three things that went well yesterday? What were three things that went well yesterday? Now, developing a habit is hard. And one of the things that I find is if I give myself a trigger, I actually remember to do what the new habit that I'm trying to create. And so for me, in the morning, one of the things that triggers it for me is brushing my teeth. And as soon as I pick up the toothpaste and toothbrush, I remember, and I ask myself, what were three things that went well yesterday? And I remember them. And you know what? It lifts my whole countenance. It just lifts me up. No matter what's happening that day, no matter what's happening on my schedule, it gives me a sense that God is with me, and with God, I can continue to see things go well in my life. So I don't know what your morning routine is. Maybe it's when you pour that first cup of coffee. You just ask yourself, what went well yesterday? Or maybe it's having breakfast with somebody and sharing together. Tell me three things that went well for you yesterday and share back and forth. You know, it's just such a boost. But, you know, to create a habit, it's very, very hard. We all have great intentions. We're in the new year. You've probably already made some new year resolutions. I know you're probably saying, oh, don't give me another new year resolution. But what I'm saying is creating a habit of asking yourself three things that went well yesterday. Even though there might have been challenges, even though there might have been hardship, even though there might have been things that happened in your life that were really not good, just ask yourself what went well, and you'll be surprised. you'll find every day three things that went well the day before. And then once you've named them, give thanks to God for them. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these things going well. So, yay, God. Praise God for what God is doing in your life. And also remember things that are going well in your life and give thanks to God for those things. Now, the second is yes, God. Being able to say yes, God. God speaks to you. God gives you a calling in your life. And your calling could be anything. It could be to go to your neighbor and help your neighbor out. It could be to be with a coworker and assist them. It could be with a friend and to give them a call. It could be with a family member that you know is at a distance and you can Zoom in or FaceTime together. God's got something for you to do because God's got a message of hope and joy through you to spread to other people. And so every day we need to say, yes, God, whatever you have for me today, yes, here I am, use me. You know, one of our pastors here in Greater New Jersey, he's retired now, but still quite active, is Wayne Plumstead. Wayne Plumstead was a district superintendent when I came and began serving here just a little more than 8 years ago in Greater New Jersey. He was on the cabinet. He was a great cabinet member, very, very thoughtful. But on a couple occasions, Wayne has shared his own call story and shared that with others, shared that publicly about how God called his life. Now, Wayne has a higher pitched voice. But as a child, and even into college and beyond, he had a very high-pitched voice. But he believed that God was calling him to be a pastor. And people told him that he wouldn't be able to be a pastor because his voice was so high that if he preached, it just wouldn't be received well. And he was told that he shouldn't become a pastor. But Wayne said, yes, God, I want to serve you. So he decided that he would continue to study and study the Bible and study the theology, and he would write. If he couldn't speak it and people would receive it and hear it, he could use his written form. And Wayne is a great writer. He is an excellent writer. But in that process, a professor said to him, well, Wayne, if God is calling you to preach, maybe we can work with that. And Wayne began to work with a speech person who taught him how to modulate his voice and how to lower his voice. And over time, Wayne continued to practice and he lowered his voice. And, you know, I've heard Wayne preach several times. His messages are always deeply meaningful, deeply powerful, have spoken to me. And you know what? His voice never got in the way of the message. And that's because Wayne said, yes, God, here I am, I'll serve you. If I can't preach, I'll write. And in the midst of that, God said, no, you're going to preach. You're going to pastor. You're going to lead the church. And God helped him to develop his voice so he could do that. Jesus, at his baptism, said, yes, God, I'm ready to take on the ministry that you have for me. The story of the baptism is a powerful story. Here it is, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Jesus comes to the River Jordan. John says, no, I should be baptizing you. Jesus says, no, I'm to be baptized. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is when it all gets started for Jesus. And the heavens open up. This is my beloved child with whom I'm pleased. And then Jesus heads to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to center himself, to quiet himself, so that he can be fully ready for this important and powerful ministry that he has. But he said, yes, God. Yes, God. And even toward the end of his life, the last night of his life, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows what's about to happen the next day. He knows that he'll be crucified. And he prays, and he prays earnestly. And then he says, God, if there is any way that this cup can be removed from me, let it be removed. And then he pauses and he listens. And he listens to himself and what he's been called for. And he says, not my will, but your will, God. Yes, God, even at the end of his life. What does it look like for you to say, yes, God, here I am? You know, sometimes I use these illustrations about clergy and their calling and things of that nature. You know, you don't have to be a clergy person to say yes to God. You know, my parents, and I've met amazing laity throughout my whole life that have served in many different ways. But, you know, when I think about my parents, two strong lay people in the church, and how many lives they touched, how many lives they transformed, how many people came to know Jesus through them. Just their love and their commitment, and teaching Sunday school, teaching youth group, doing mission projects, taking young people on retreats. They did all kinds of things. And you know, when John Wesley started the Methodist movement, it was never meant to be a church. It was never meant to be a clergy movement. It was meant to be a lay movement, in which we supplemented what laity were already getting in their churches, and that this was a lay movement that would move the church forward. And over time, Methodism became a denomination, but it was a lay movement. And you know, sometimes I feel that we become too clergy dependent, that the laity are so key and important to the future of the United Methodist Church and the future of people. And so, what are you going to say yes to? What are you going to say, yes, God, here I am. I'm ready to do what you call me to do. I'm ready to be an epiphany. And then lastly, you know, Yahoo God, Yahoo your epiphany. The word Yahoo can mean different things, but today I'm using it in that sense of hip, hip, hooray. I celebrate this. I celebrate what God is doing in and through me. I celebrate the possibility. And so celebrate what God is doing through you. And as I said earlier, yes, you can be humble and celebrate. You can talk about what God is doing in and through you. You know, sometimes I think that people, you know, become so humble, don't want to be prideful, that we never really get to hear the story of God and what God is doing in and through them. And so it's not boasting. It's talking about what God is doing through you. And we can praise and say, hip, hip, hooray, God, for what you're doing. You know, one of the things, though, that as you do that, that's so important is that you always remember to give thanks to God, because your life and the lives that you touch through your life is because of God. Maybe people that have come before you, who God has been in their life and has touched your life, or touched somebody else's life that has touched your life, and that we build on this from generation to generation. And so, just giving thanks to God for what God has done and continues to do. As a matter of fact, I talked about developing a habit at the beginning of the day and remembering what went on the day before, three things that went well. Well, you can also end your day with gratitude. And that keeps you perfectly balanced as you Yahoo God and as you Yahoo your epiphany, you know, as you celebrate what God is doing in your life. Just what are three things you're grateful for that day that's happened in that day? Simple things. And again, develop a trigger, you know, whatever it is. You know, my trigger is just before I get into bed, I've got two pillows there. I put one of them aside because I only use one pillow when I sleep. And when I do that, it triggers for me to say, what are three things I'm grateful for today? What do I thank God for? And so I try to begin my day with remembering what has gone well and giving thanks for that. That gives my spirit a boost so that I can be the epiphany in the world. And then at the end of the day, what are three things I can be thankful for that day? That I can thank God, that God has done and touched my life. That maybe something I've seen how God has touched somebody else's life, or maybe I've seen something that the church has done, and thank God for those things. You begin the day by being well and recognizing what's going well in your life, and you end the day by thanking God. Can't get any better. And you know what? In the midst of that, God is ready to speak to you because you've opened up your heart for God. You know, God's got so much for us, but we've also been in a challenging time and a challenging season. I know many of us wanted to get out of 2020 as soon as we could. All the different things that have happened in 2020, a pandemic, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, racism, many, many things. And many of us have just talked about, I just want to get past 2020. I can't wait for 2021. Well, you know what? I actually think 2020 has been an epiphany year. That in this year, God has been speaking to us. That God has been sharing things with us. You know, I look at G&J and the epiphany year it's been for us. We learned that we could change very, very quickly. Within 2 weeks, more than 500 congregations moved from being in their sanctuaries to worshiping online. That's an epiphany that we could change and adjust that quickly. We also saw and learned that we could develop relationships in new ways, that we could be in relationship with other people in new ways. Not perfect, not the best, but that we could make it work, that we could make these things come together. An epiphany that we don't always have to be with one another. Have any of you out there started a new tradition during COVID that you'll continue after COVID because you've just so enjoyed it? For me, I get together every Friday night. Beverly and I get together every Friday night with four other couples, five couples. We all get on Friday night, and we just laugh, and we kid, and we tell stories, and we have a good time together. And guess what? We're separated by miles. We're in five different states. But this I can tell you, it's going to continue after the pandemic. Because we've just so enjoyed those times and look forward to those times. You know, there's all kinds of epiphanies that happened in 2020. It wasn't a great year. It was a hard year. We lost people. We were separated from people. We couldn't worship like we normally worship. We couldn't minister like we normally ministered. But yet, God is seeing us through. And God is saying to us, even in your greatest challenge, I am with you, and that you can move through this. So let's keep listening for God's voice and God's manifestations, God's presence, God's revelation right before us. And then go and live it, because that's what's so important, is living it in the world so that others, too, might have an epiphany. Amen. Will you pray with me? Most gracious God, we come to you today. And to be honest with you, God, I never thought I'd say this. But there are parts of 2020 I thank you for. In the midst of all the challenges and the heartache, the loss, inconveniences, you were with us. We weren't alone. And in the midst of it, we found new ways of being and loving and caring. God, I just thank you for each and every day of life. Even the hardest days are still a blessing with you. And so thank you, God. God, as we have closed out 2020 and now moved into 2021, it's still clear that the pandemic is with us. It's still clear there are more challenges ahead. And so, God, let us keep looking to you. Let us keep holding each other in prayer. And let's keep journeying together. God, I pray for each one here today. I pray, God, for their strength. I pray, God, for their health, for their well-being. And God, I pray for their life, that you would be open to them and that they would see you all over again. That you'd warm their heart, even if it's in a strange way, one more time. And that God, in the midst of all the challenges, in the midst of all the problems, we would still remember that the day before there were three things that went well. And in that, and in the new day, there were things that happened that we want to thank you for. And so God, keep us remembering those things that go well. And also those things that we're grateful for. And may they be the bookends of our day and our life. God, we pray for all of those in the hospital. We pray for all of our healthcare workers. We pray, God, for our new president who prepares to take office. We pray, God, for leaders in churches and communities, in towns and states, in the world. Bless them, O God, to lead your people. And all this, God, we pray and give you all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.